Cannabisradio.com.
The following program is not intended for children. It contains mild language, violence, sexual innuendo, wink, wink, brief nudity, and deals with mature themes that some may find offensive. Parental discretion is advised.
This is the phenomenal one, AJ Styles.
This is Eric Bischoff.
Hey, this is Chris Jericho.
This is Booker T, five-time WCW champ.
Hi, everybody. This is good old JR Jim Ross, WWE Hall of Famer. And you're tuned in to the, what was it?
Wild Talk Radio Network presents to you the evolution of online pro wrestling sports entertainment.
My man, gather around.
Wrestle Talk Radio.
Whose reputation for clarity and truth had become a symbol of hope.
Bringing to you everything in the world of professional wrestling.
8 o'clock. It's 8 o'clock, isn't it?
With your hosts, Tim Stein.
Chief architect of this intended revolution and author of this insidious plot.
The Omega.
Frankly, I've never been able to understand violence in any form.
Heartbreak Mike.
Has black hair, blue eyes, doesn't drink, doesn't smoke, and tells the truth.
And the producer, Sir Rockin.
I sort of have a problem seeing to live.
Live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Any questions, class?
And on the free TuneIn app on your mobile device.
Oh, that's interesting.
Hey, this is the Rated R Superstar, a.k.a. Adam Copeland, a.k.a. Edge.
This is Matt Hardy.
Hey, everybody, this is X-Bot.
This is the Masterpiece, Chris Master.
If you don't tune in each and every week to WrestleTalk Radio, Matt Hardy.
WTR Sunday Night.
I was thinking maybe we could go for a hamburger.
And welcome to another edition of WTR Sunday Night Live right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. Since we're on the air, I'm going to presume, since it's 10 o'clock, that we have a pay-per-view to preview at some point.
We do.
Amazing. How did I know?
You have psychic powers.
It's because we're on at 10. This is just the reality I'm trying to accept from now on.
It's better than whatever world Matt Hardy's living in.
Oh, that's not a world. That is a dimension made of padded walls.
He was throwing firecrackers last night. I saw the video. He was throwing firecrackers at Tommy Dreamer.
It's a downgrade. It's not a Roman candle.
I don't think you can get away with bringing a Roman candle into the ECW. Never mind. Never mind. Never mind.
Yeah, one of the few times you ever heard that you can't get away with that in the ECW arena. What?
No, yeah.
As you guess from the music, we got other things to talk about too. So let's get started. I am the Omega, the be-all, end-all of our network. Joining me tonight, we have Heartbreak Mike.
Omega, bienvenidos a WTR Wrestle Talk Radio.
Oh, someone hit the ESP on Mike. Can someone like change that back real quick?
Well, no, he's on the Spanish announce table.
Si.
Okay, you have to keep up this gimmick for the entire 2 hours.
Screw that. What up, guys? This is Heartbreak Mike here on WTR Sunday Night.
That's more like it.
No, see, the gimmick could have been you could have just said see or no the entire 2 hours. You would have had an easy show. But you blew it. You blew it.
And our special guest host, the Long Geeks to Doors.
One or two. Or both. No. Dos. Okay.
Hola y ole! ¿Dónde my cervezas, por favor?
And now currently butchering the Spanish language is the one and only Tim Stein.
Hey, I didn't butcher it. Didn't do a great job, but I didn't butcher it. Good evening, everybody. Welcome to WTR Sunday Night Wrestle Talk Radio right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. Yeah, strangely enough, this week I didn't wind up with a headache on Sunday.
But wait till next week when he gets out of trying to do Clash of Champions review right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
That's not even close to being close to funny, because that's not what happened. I was pissed off.
You wanted to talk all about Heath Slater and Rhino, didn't you?
No.
Okay, how about the Hype Bros?
No.
Heel Usos?
No.
Becky Lynch winning.
Ooh, cool.
AJ Styles is the WWE champion.
God damn it.
Yeah, that's what you missed.
I caught the replay. Thank you very much, Rocky.
Oh, and Kane beat Bray Wyatt because it was a pay-per-view?
Because that makes sense.
It's one of those things. It's like a monster in the closet where, like, the more people see him, the weaker he gets.
Something like that. Oh, Bray. If it wasn't for Lindsay absolutely adoring you, you'd be in trouble. Wait a minute. So, hey, the CWC wrapped up this past week, guys.
Indeed.
And you watched it.
Yes.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, I didn't get a chance to observe the happenstancings, which is a word I made up just now. Because
it's fine.
I
it's normal.
Just felt like it. But that said, why don't you guys just tell me, and everybody's listening, what happened?
Why didn't you watch this? Oh, yeah. Never mind. Yeah. I know why you didn't watch it.
Well, you want to go ahead, Omega? Go ahead. You can start.
I will admit, I got back. I was out when the event was going on, so I only saw half the tag match. I still think it should have gotten points because it was a network special.
No points for you.
That's almost true this week. I was like shocked at the final because it was absolutely not the final I expected. There's something really deep in my head thinking this whole thing was supposed to be Kota Ibushi versus Zack Sabre Jr.
Well, I tweeted this out the entire time. This is what happens when you have no contract.
Oh, I get that. But like that really does seem like it was structured to give like, okay, now will you sign? No? Okay, well, you're losing.
Please, will you sign on the dotted line? Please, don't like, go back to Japan.
Stick him in there as long as we possibly can.
Well, Jesus. Zack Sabre, well, not mention Zack Sabre Jr., has a lot of attention and whatnot, but he's also still not done in the indies as well. So, I do see why he said no. But, if anything, I could probably see Triple H like, well, you know what? I respect that. Should you want to come, you know, come to WWE, you know, don't come to the main roster. If you want to come to NXT, you know, let me know. The door's always open. I can see Triple H doing that. Because if you respect, from what I'm seeing, if you respect Triple H, Triple H will respect you. And I think that's pretty much what I can see happen.
Well, I think in a lot of cases with these guys, the door is going to be open just on performance level these guys put out.
Yeah. Hell yeah.
Not going to lie, I would enjoy a lot of that actually happening.
But we all know reality.
Yeah. Damn reality.
I know. However, I will say that because when I saw the finish and I'm like, this did not really happen. This did happen. Because everybody's thinking about, okay, yes, I'm sorry, the internet wrestling community is like, oh God, it's going to happen. Thank you, Triple H, Zack Sabre Jr. versus Kota Ibushi. Triple H said, hey guys, I'm Triple H. Screw the rules. And we see this, but I also like what Triple H did. He wants to put he also wants to put younger, fresh indies talent over. Everyone knows who Kota Ibushi is. Everyone knows who Zack Sabre Jr. is. Everyone knows who TJ Perkins is and Triple A knows who Grand Metalik is.
I'm staying in shock here because you actually uttered a phrase, Triple H wants to put indie guys over. This is not the world I'm accustomed to.
It's not the world any wrestling fan is accustomed to. It's hard to say it. Come on. Just like you said, in WWE, on camera, he's the bad guy. Off camera, he's Papa Hunter. Prime example, please sign Cedric. Clap, 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 clap.
That was probably my favorite moment out of a Cruiserweight Classic.
Triple H coming out of nowhere. He's like, all right. All right.
It's because there's such genuineness to the moment. You could tell, like, Cedric didn't even know which hand to hold out for a handshake.
Because he wasn't expecting that. And I loved that about the CWC. You never know what happens inside the CWC. after, you know, before the show, after the show, especially with that moment with Brian Kendrick. That was a good moment.
You know, it's almost like what the WWE preaches, like anything can happen, might actually be true when it's the CWC.
Correction. What Triple H preaches. Anything can happen in the WWE. Triple H preaches that, not the WWE.
Oh, no. Anything can happen has been the marketing term since the Attitude Era. Except they used to refer, they used to use it to refer to WCW guys coming over.
Oh, boy. You know what? You're right about that.
Been a long time. Hasn't been true most of the time lately. But, hey, this was a little bit more, on the nose. I would, I'm still stunned. Like, I'm still stunned. Like, I would so, like, even if they didn't sign, you figure, like, being the bigger names, like either Sabre or Ibushi is going to be in the finals, at least to like, I assume WWE style. Well, you know, okay, if you're not coming with us, then you have to put over the guys who are.
Exactly. And it's a bunch of people, and it's a bunch of cruiserweights from all over the world, and that alone is just amazing.
Mm-hmm.
And which leads me to a question. What was the best? What do you think was the best matchup on the show? I think both of us know, but
here's a problem. Remember how I said that I didn't get back in time to see this?
Mm-hmm.
I did get to see Sabre versus Metallic.
Yeah,
I have not seen Ibushi and Perkins.
Ooh.
Like, there's such a part of me that's upset that I didn't get to see the finals live because I missed the shock of, like, seeing Sabre and Ibushi eliminated.
When I tell you that when Perkins kicked out of the Golden Star Powerbomb, I was like, what? And mind you, I follow TJ Perkins. TJ Perkins, yes, that mofo went through a lot. In his young life, wrestling did save his life, like a lot of the wrestlers here. And it's just important to me because a lot of young wrestlers, and I know Tim could probably vouch for this because he's seen young talent. When you see young talent that does nothing but grind, you do get noticed. You do get pushed. You do get booked. Sometimes it doesn't matter if you're winning or losing. It's how you perform. And TJ Perkins, out of everything, Triple H saw potential in him because he looked at his videos and was like, this guy is good. I mean, we're not going to talk about the Suicide Era, but beyond that,
no one talks about that era.
Mm-mm. This guy is amazing. Pure. And that's what a booker likes. Pure, raw talent. No enhancement needed. No pun intended. But it's just, what's the better term? When you pay your dues, you get over. Perkins paid his dues, and he got over. And he was humble. And the best thing was he was humble about it. You can't beat that. And it pissed me off because there was no dab. But that's neither here nor there. It was just an amazing experience just to see those matchups.
I think it was a little bit too serious of a moment for dabbing. Yeah, like, I can excuse them for putting it away for one moment.
It was good. It was really good.
And he looked like he had just won a prize match.
Yeah. Did you hear those chops that Metalli gave him?
I saw those chops about 5 minutes after they happened.
Back chops and all. All you hear is, I was like,
geez, all the blood blistering up on the skin. It's like the wrist taped up, you know, Hunter putting the belt on him. Like, it looked like he had just gone 12 rounds.
Literally 12 rounds. But I can honestly say TJ Perkins was the right choice for the Cruiserweight Champion. I was actually surprised because Triple H was like, hey, so, you know, this is where we got to make history. And then big purple Kool-Aid belt showed up. This is what it's all about. The Cruiserweight Championship. Oh my God.
I did like that he saved the the reveal of the belt until just before the bell rings.
Yeah, I thought that was pretty cool. Like, what the hell, Triple H, what the fuck are you doing? Oh my god. And he did not come out with the belt, which was so amazing and surprising.
Yeah, just to have someone slip it to him.
Yeah, take notes, Vince.
Like, everything to make it a surprise that, yeah, you're not just winning the trophy, you are the Cruiserweight champion. It was good, really good.
I love it, I love it. Now, oh god, that is happening tomorrow, isn't it? Oh gosh.
Yeah, it's the debut.
The debut of the Cruiserweights.
Do you like the belt design?
You know what? As long as it's not a stamp, I'm fine.
Here's the thing, like, the purple is odd. We still haven't quite gotten away from, like, this, like, our title belts are colorful now thing.
Right.
What I love is that it's a globe. There's an actual globe on the belt. And part of me is like, where the fuck has that been for all these world titles we've been cooking up lately? But, you know, like, I also have to remember is like, well, this is like the global tournament that we just got finished. And if anyone was appropriate to have that globe on it now, this is it.
Oh yeah.
But no, the finals were awesome. And
the tournament in general was fucking awesome.
Oh yeah.
But I am nervous on what Vince is going
to
do.
Yeah, because now you take it out of the hands of what seems to be like Triple H's team down in NXT handling this. And now we put it in Vince's team.
Vince sitting there.
Where I have this deep fear of Monday Night Raw, you know, having TJ and the signed Cruiserweights coming out to, you know, to celebrate the Cruiserweight Classic and all this. And then Brahms music hits.
Oh god. Either Brahms or Mark.
He's just standing there licking his lips.
Oh god, please, Vince. Please don't.
To be fair, it's a lot of work and a lot of money to put these guys over just to do that.
You is right.
That's what I gotta keep reminding myself is if I follow money back, this is a lot of money wasted if that's just what they're going to do.
A lot of cash.
I have to believe they are fully intending to go all out with this.
But it's just, the thing of it is, and when you have Cruiserweights, and I've seen this, these Cruiserweights are young. I'm not talking about like 30 and 34 and 27. Most of them are like as young as 22. Noam Dar, he's the youngest. And to me, I'm just hoping that Vince really realizes it and notices their talent. I mean, correct me if I'm wrong, Booker, but I'm going to ask, this is an open discussion. Do you really think that Vince is going to treat the Cruiserweights right?
When it's I see hard, something like the CWC, thing. When I see how good it came out and how well received it was, I want to say yes purely because
of how it was.
Of how it was and how much money he stands to make if he does treat it right. But in the back of my head keeps shouting, but it's Vince and they're little.
Right,
our last Cruiserweight champion was Hornswoggle.
We don't speak of that.
I'm speaking of it.
We don't speak of that. That was an illusion.
Somebody doesn't like to be reminded of it.
It's because they, okay, during that time, they made the Cruiserweight division a joke, a huge joke. And this is what we need, Cruiserweight division, Cruiserweight championship. Our prayers have been answered. Oh my god, the Cruiserweight title is back. But Vince has the ball now. What is going to happen with the Cruiserweights?
Well, let's stop and think about it. You know, for last couple of decades, we've all been saying, well, Vince this and Vince that, when the reality is he has backed off quite a bit and he's going to be backing off quite a bit more. It's not Vince. He might still have the final say on certain things, the majority of things, actually, but it's not so much Vince as WWE creative. Can they manage this correctly? Or are they going to mismanage it and cause problems.
They have to manage it correctly on some extent because Raw is counting on the Cruiserweight division to fill up the three-hour time slot.
Which is desperately needed at this point in time. Raw has gone downhill a little bit since this brand split, which I don't think we were all completely in favor of to begin with.
No, and it's a really thin roster pool to make two different brands out of right now.
I mean, right now, SmackDown Live, 2 hours, a very entertaining program. It's way better now than it was pre-recorded. 2 hours is the right length of time for them. Raw, it's still too long. You're not going to ever see that go back down to 2 hours, I don't think. So having the Cruiserweights helping to fill that time is great. We get rid of some of that filler that they have been forced to go with. That said, how much of Raw is in Steph and Hunter's hands that comes out of creative compared to Vince's nowadays?
That's the hard part of us analyzing this stuff is we genuinely don't know.
This is exactly correct. We, for the longest time, have been bitching and moaning, let's face it, about the Divas division. And then all of a sudden they had a couple of call-ups and Steph got into the mix and they're talking about, oh, this Divas revolution. And they took two great big huge steps forward and took one step back. Then they took another two great big steps forward, took another step back. Now they've taken step forward, step forward, step forward, step forward. We don't have the Divas anymore. We don't have a Butterfly Divas title anymore. We've got a bona fide, legit women's division. And 90% of what's going on with the women in WWE is something that we've been hoping for. And it's pretty much turned out overall favorably. And I can't help but think that Steph actually does, you know, she had an actual real behind the scenes hand in helping to bring that about and smacking creative in the head, most likely figuratively, but she's a McMahon, so you never know. But, you know, like smacking creative around and say, listen, enough of your jello wrestling bullshit. And let me just clarify. I know we haven't seen any pudding matches or gravy matches or jello matches since, what, 2006, like, you know, 10 years. However, it's still, you know, bad booking for the ladies is still called your jello pudding matchups. So, yeah, that said, how much of a role did Triple H have in NXT with Cruiserweight Classic? How much of a role is Triple H going to have with the Cruiserweights in WWE on the main roster on Raw? That's where this is all leading, and that is what we have to basically bank on in order to be properly entertained and be given something good. Would you agree?
Oh, yeah. You know, again, talking about the world we live in wrestling today. 10 years ago, you tell me, like, you know, don't you hope that Triple H is controlling this? And I'm like, are you fucking kidding me?
Yeah, 10 years ago, exactly. I mean, like, Triple H sucks. Get rid of Triple H. Triple H, go away, go
Triple
away.
Triple H is booking himself as the world champion. Triple H is sleeping his way to, you know, to be the big guy in the company. Yeah, da 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 da.
Well, ultimately, maybe that did turn out to be a good move.
Oh, I question the methods, but not the result.
Oh, yeah. The result, it's the means and the ends justifying each other. Maybe not, but he's, I think, proven that he's got the medal. And, you know, when we first found out he was going to have some major goddamn input, I got worried. I did. I really did. But overall, I'm, you know, with everything we know that Triple H has had his fingers on, I'm happy with the outcome. So how can you not be?
It all worked out in the end.
Yay!
It did.
So don't forget, everybody, the Cruiserweights debut tomorrow night on Raw. Are you looking forward to it? Are you? Are you? Are you?
We'll see.
Looking forward to it with trepidation and a bit of a jaundiced eye just in case. How does that sound?
Here's hoping.
There you go. Yeah. Fingers crossed. So there you go. Yeah. So we'll see what transpires tomorrow night. Everybody tune into the USA Network in the United States and of course up here in Canada, Sportsnet 360 to find out what happens on Raw and how the Cruiserweights do. Guys, did you watch SmackDown last week?
I did. One of the best SmackDowns ever.
What are these words that you are using on this show?
Now, who are you addressing, me or, Mike.
You, the one who just, the one that just spoke.
Did you watch SmackDown?
Are we actually bringing up SmackDown on this show?
Yeah, because you know, ever since it's gone live, I've actually paid more attention to it, and I know a lot of other people have too, because their ratings are proving it. And thank God, no more worrying about running into spoilers on the Twitter or the Facebook or the dirt sheets. Oh, by the way, spoiler alert, this is happening on SmackDown. Oh, I don't want to see that. Screw it. You don't get that now. More people tuning in. I'm tuning in a little more often when I'm able to, when I don't have to work until closing. So.
Right.
Yeah. I caught it last week and sure enough, Super Cena comes out and he went off on Dean Ambrose. And I'll tell you that obviously it was a case of, well, you gotta make sure you hit these points and you gotta say certain things here and there. How much of that little speech do you think may have just been a shoot compared to a work, as they call it in the business?
It's actually hard to tell with Cena.
Which is a strange thing to say, right?
Because Cena is golden boy. He is company man. I can't imagine him going off script.
Well, I can't imagine him not being allowed to go off script.
Okay, yes, this too.
Yeah, that's the conundrum right there. I mean, like, well, are you saying this from the heart? Or are you saying this from the, you've arranged this? And this is pretty much what you're supposed to say according to the, to creative. But, yeah, he took several what they could be, considered to be shots at Dean Ambrose. I mean, it was a really impressive promo that he cut on Dean. And if I didn't know any better, I could see this winding up being some kind of, the genesis for an angle between these two down the road. After Dean is finished with the main event chase. And that could be what this is all about, starting off.
I'm not sure I would mind.
We've been given good old Cena a bunch of grief, but at the same time, for the last couple of years, we've actually got to give him some real, genuine, honest to goodness respect. He's been putting other talent over the younger guys. He's actually, done the job for a lot of them. Sure. He's held the United States title. Come on out. It's the weekly challenge. Come and beat me. And these guys would come out and ultimately lose to John Cena, the champion. But he's made a lot of them look really good and given them a tiny little bit of a rub, and they didn't look bad in a loss to John Cena in that situation. When when he's not holding the title, there's, it seems like we are seeing a lot of, 1-2-3 pins against Cena when there's no title on the line or at stake. And even sometimes when he's chasing the title, he'll, do the job for the younger champion. We've seen that happen. So,
like, above all, John Cena knows and respects the business and knows how things go. You know, he's got other interests going on right now. You know, he's getting on in his career at this point. It's that point where he does have to start transitioning from, you know, that guy, you know, the top guy in the company, which he still very much is the top guy in the company,
mm-hmm.
to the one who's there to help the younger talent, like to realize his generation is coming to a close.
Yeah. So, well, let me ask you this really quick. We're coming up, really hard against, break time, but let me ask you this something really quick. Here's a hypothetical, and it's a proposed booking angle involving Cena, Ambrose, and AJ. Let's just say for shits and giggles, the whole thing that's been going down between AJ and Cena, which is by no means close to being over yet. They wind up in a match a couple months down the road. Cena beats AJ at WrestleMania for the title. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Stick with me on this one. How much flack are the fans going to give Cena for beating AJ for the title? Right? Now go further. Here's the second part of that booking angle. Cena has set this thing up with Dean Ambrose, and they've got some head-to-head going on in between his feuding with AJ. Dean Ambrose winds up being the number one contender for the title that John Cena's holding. John Cena, Dean Ambrose, SummerSlam 2017 for the WWE World title.
You know, I don't think I would complain about that.
Here's the thing. I'm booking it for almost a complete year from this point on. And I think we should record this for when SummerSlam comes around next summer to see how close I am to it. Never mind that. Just WrestleMania.
Oh, shit. We're not recording?
Oh, we're recording, but you know what I mean. I was just being...
Threw me off for a second, Tim.
Yeah, I was being whatchamacallit. Rhetorical?
Dumb.
Facetious? Yeah, more like rhetorical. But I wasn't being dumb. Shame on you. Anyway, yeah, now let's just see if this comes about, because yeah, I admit it. I can't say I'd have a hard time with it, but here's the question. If this was all set up, this entire verbal beatdown given to Ambrose by Cena, could we possibly see this as the genesis of that long awaited heel turn we have been hearing about?
You will never.
With
ever.
Dean, no, with
see
Dean
heel turn.
No.
For Dean, yeah. Okay.
Yeah, that's the heel turn I'm talking about. You think this may be the infancy stages?
I could see that.
Just because of what happened. And if you guys, you don't know what I'm talking about, get the replay for Tuesday Night SmackDown Live and just pay attention to that promo that Cena cuts on Ambrose in the ring. You all understand what I'm talking about. That being said, Omega, let's take our first break of the evening.
Sure, why not?
Okay, hey everybody, you're listening to WTR, Sunday Night Wrestle Talk Radio, right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. Don't go anywhere. Coming up in just a little while tonight, we're going to be doing, I know it's been so long since we had to worry about it, I forget how to do it. WTR Pick'em is up tonight. We'll be back right after this.
Every Saturday night, you never know what to expect when cigarette butts and bandanas hit the airwaves on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Ha ha ha! Is that Shell Station open? Ha ha ha! Daddy might have himself some cig. I just gotta cross a fucking freeway that would kill me. 8 fucking lanes. 8 motherfucking lanes. Dude, the Godfather of the Supreme dies. He just fucking loses the match and keeps on ticking. Fucking 8 lanes, the motherfucking highway! Alright, if this place is closed, I'm gonna kill somebody. Yeah, this place looks like I might get robbed by a guy of slightly darker complexion than I am.
Do you have to run back across the highway?
Yeah, I know. I gotta run across fucking 3 lanes of highway now. God damn it. The bad thing is, I probably don't have $7 to my fucking name, so I'm gonna have to use my damn credit card or my debit card as a fucking way to pay for $7.
Fuck, you fucking better be open.
I fucking walked across 13 lanes of highway.
They're not open.
What the fuck?
Are you sure you're not open?
Can I get a pack of Camel Light?
Hell yeah. Oh my god. Alright. Safe now. People aren't dying yet.
You ready, Rob? Now you gotta run again.
I do, because actually the fucking light's green, no one's coming, no one's turning, and I gotta go.
That's
I should have just crossed the other street, because now I gotta cross another street.
Steve,
somebody give me a goddamn... Ah, it's fucking Sunday, you can't buy beer. Wait a minute, what time is it?
It's 12:30.
I'm a goo. Ah, forget about it. Get it? All right, I'll just smoke my cigarette and be fucking happy. Oh, no, that's fucking just perfect. Green light just came on this fucking... I'm about to get plowed by fucking 3 18-wheelers and a fucking Jeep Wrangler. Fuck me, man. I gotta light a cigarette for this run.
Whether you are a badass, a godfather, or anything in between, the answer is cigarette butts and bandanas live midnight, or as close as we can get, only on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
So now you get to enjoy that nicotine, huh?
Yeah.
every Monday night. Get caught up with everything that happens on Monday Night Raw with the Raw Post Show.
Suplex City, bitch!
From the big returns...
I didn't just make headlines last night. I turned the WWE Universe upside down.
To the shocking moments.
The last time you and I together, we were in Brooklyn on Monday Night Raw. It was me, you, Rusev. Remember that? That was an amazing night. And then remember, you came to my hotel room and surprised me that night. Yeah, that was crazy. Remember that? And you told me you didn't want to be with Rusev anymore. You said he was big, he was hairy, he smelled like rotten testicles. And we did those special exercises. You showed me how to do the one-legged Russian vacuum. Yes! Remember I showed you how to do the Wisconsin wheelbarrow? Hey, we were just talking about you, kinda. And you guys still together? I heard you broke up.
We're actually engaged to be married.
You engaged to be married? Mazel! That's fantastic news! You got a hell of a woman here. She's flexible as all hell. Whoa! I mean, it's amazing!
And the moments that leave you speechless.
My name is Bo, and I'm here to say Flo Rida's disrespectful in a major way. You sucker punched my friend in WrestleMania 28. But I'd be upset too if I was named after this awful stain.
Oh, you got it.
You need to channel your negativity in a more productive manner. You hold an ace high, but I have a full house. Like, my name is Danny Tanner.
Oh!
It's the Raw Post Show, Monday nights, live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Can't catch a WTR program live? Well, we've got three easy ways for you to listen whenever you want. First, listen to the Wild Talk Radio Network on iTunes. Just head over to iTunes and search for Wild Talk Radio Network and subscribe to our feed. Secondly, download the Stitcher Radio app and search for Wild Talk Radio Network. And finally, just visit the archive section right here at wildtalkradio.com, and you can download every single episode of all your favorite programs. Best of all, it's free. Keep up to date and spread the word to your friends on how you can be part of the Wild Talk Radio Network listening experience.
Thursday nights, The Rack lays the smackdown on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Thursday.
Join me, Lindsay Ward, and my handyman producer, Sir Rockin, as we give you all the latest wrestling news, discussions, our reactions to both NXT and SmackDown, along with interviews with some of our favorite wrestling superstars.
Hey, this is Adam Copeland, a.k.a. the Rated R Superstar. What's up? This is WWE Superstar The Miz. This is Mr. Money in the Bank, the undisputed future of WWE. Seth Rollins.
This is Kane from WWE.
The future is now when you experience The Rack. Thursday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Thursday.
Hi, everybody. This is good old JR Jim Ross, WWE Hall of Famer.
Business is about to pick up here.
And you're tuned in to the Wild Talk Radio Network.
It's going to be a slobber knocker.
Okay, Mike, your turn. Do it, Mike. Do it, Mike.
Which part?
Do the woo. Do a woo.
Woo!
What are the chances we could talk Omega into doing a woo?
Good question.
No. I just finalized a divorce. That's a Ric Flair impression.
Yeah, but you are stuck for all the alimony.
Ooh.
So that's sort of like a...
Here we go. Eva Marie is released from WWE.
Breaking news, Mike.
Don't give me that kind of hope.
Yeah. Don't play with my emotions like that.
Breaking news or wishful thinking?
Aww.
What?
I don't know. Wishful thinking.
Wishful thinking.
Christmas.
Hoping and praying.
What do you want for Christmas this year? Unemployment.
Boo!
Not mine.
Well, you know, I'm going to just jump around on this a little bit. You know, coming back to Ric Flair's theme and having a little bit of fun with it. 35 years ago this week in Kansas City, Missouri, Ric Flair defeated Dusty Rhodes to win the NWA World Heavyweight Championship for the first time. 35 years ago. That's longer than you've been alive, Michael.
You're right.
And Omega.
Uh-huh.
And Rock, who's not going to say anything because he's busy watching TV. And I was just a little kid when that happened. Like a really little kid. Like I was like 3-something.
That's a little kid.
Mm-hmm.
Telling everybody I'm 38 now. Yeah. So, hey, what is your all-time favorite Ric Flair match, Omega?
Jeez, you asked me to pick for more matches than I've been alive for.
Yep.
Oh, my God. I'm trying to think. Because there's a lot of moments I remember. But, like, in my head, I'm tossed up between, you know, the two matches that were supposed to be his final matches.
Yep.
Which is the final Nitro and against Shawn Michaels. You know, there's a weird thing in that there's a beauty to something when it comes to an end. Because mm-hmm. that's the last way you remember it. That's the last vision of it you have. And being able to, you know, being able to end things in, you know, on a good note, either with, you know, Sting, a longtime rival, or, you know, Shawn Michaels, two of the greatest of all time against each other. You know, that's, you know, a wonderful thing. You know, there is beauty to that. And then he went to TNA and kind of fucked that all over, but we're not talking about that.
That doesn't count.
Thank you.
No, it's that kind of thing I remember from Flair.
Fair enough. Fair enough. Mike, do you have a favorite Ric Flair match?
One of my favorite Ric Flair matches happened to be The Undertaker versus Ric Flair at WrestleMania.
Okay.
Because that, to me, since I've been alive, that and the Shawn Michaels, just like Omega said, those matches stood out to me. But I have to say, if you wanted to see Ric Flair in one of his, I hate to say it, no offense, but in one of his prime moments, that would be it. Because Ric Flair, I don't even think Ric Flair had an injury.
Well, there was the time he was in a plane crash.
That doesn't count.
He broke his back.
Not what I mean. Like, in the ring.
You gotta give Flair credit, though. Like, the guy was in a plane crash and got better.
Broken back in the plane crash and got better.
Well, because Flair used to be, like, a brawler-type wrestler. He used to be, like, a heavy hitter. And then the plane crash said, well, you can't work that way anymore. So, this is where you get in the more technical aspects, the more the dirtiest player in the game with the heel tactics.
More psychology in his matches after the plane crash.
Yeah. Well, that's what happens. You couldn't do you can't do this anymore because your body's not capable of it. But hey, you know, here's this other avenue you can take, and it made him a lot more well-rounded. Like the irony. Like the plane crash was the best thing to happen to him.
Weird to say, but yeah.
It is. It's really weird. He was really lucky to have crashed in that plane.
Very.
Seriously. Who knows, like, the kind of career he would have had if, you know, he hadn't been forced to change up like that.
Well, okay, just scratch what I was about to say because I was going to bring that up. What would have happened if he hadn't have had that injury? So. Okay, that's, you know, those are all, good matches and such. Mine, definitely, it's the Shawn Michaels Ric Flair retirement match. That's, you know, my favorite match right there. It's just the entire, not just the match itself, but the entire story told in the ring, culminating in everybody lip reading Shawn Michaels. I'm sorry, I love you. Or I love you, I'm sorry, whichever way it went.
I'm sorry, I love you, yeah.
Yeah, I'm sorry, I love you. Super kick, boom, 1, 2, 3, Ric Flair has been retired by Shawn Michaels. That match, Rick just wouldn't quit. He was beaten 3 ways from Sunday and he wouldn't quit. He kept getting knocked down and he would not stay down. It was just an incredible, memorable match. Speaking of memorable, Favorite Ric Flair memory. Mine happens to be that entire storyline leading to the WrestleMania match where Vince comes out and says, okay, fine, you fight. You win, you fight again. You lose, you retire. The whole story was absolutely incredible. And we saw some great matches with Ric Flair in between when Vince came out and said that and WrestleMania. We saw a few that weren't so good, but overall, it was like Ric Flair of old as opposed to the old Ric Flair. That's my favorite Ric Flair memory. What about you, Omega?
You're talking like favorite memories. This is weird. It's like he's still alive.
Mm-hmm.
Like we're having this discussion. The man is still breathing. Oh, some of my favorite stuff. Like I already discussed like favorite moments in the matches and things like that. You know, like you said, you know, the I'm sorry, I love you. Just such a, you know, like I said, there's beauty to moments like that. I'm trying to remember. It's the Flairisms, like the stuff that persists that I have to love, you know, beyond just like the simple Flair flop thing, which even as a kid, I think that makes no sense. I have no idea why he just fell that way. But it's like, I can remember on Nitro getting so pissed off. Like, I don't know how you get this angry at a person.
Uh-huh.
I don't know how you get this angry at a person. Ric Flair gets so angry at Eric Bischoff, he de-pantses himself. He takes his pants and his suit off and he throws them to the mat, bounces off the ropes and elbow drops his own pants. Because he's this pissed off at Eric Bischoff. I've never been so angry at a person that I felt the need to strip. But it's Ric Flair, so I'm convinced, like, this is the level of anger he has that thought could cross my mind.
And that became a bit of a running thing with him in various forms. He would elbow drop his jackets.
He's elbow dropped his book.
His shirt.
Well, like, no. Like, everyone talks about the jacket because I think that's the most common. No, I remember him dropping the elbow on his pants.
I was like, how mad'd you make him? Mad enough he took his pants off and elbow dropped him. You what? Seriously. Shut up. No, I'm honest. Go YouTube it. Just priceless. Mike, what about you?
The best serious moment of Ric Flair that I can think of, Undertaker saying goodbye to Rick. That's by far one of my great moments in all serious aspect of Ric Flair, because Ric Flair, Undertaker doesn't say goodbye to everybody. And for that to happen, you must have did something to literally,
garner that kind of respect from somebody like Taker.
Yeah. The next person that he did it to was Shawn Michaels, but we all know why. The funny moment of Ric Flair was Kurt Angle Ric Flair woo-off. I don't care what anybody says, but when that moment happened, I don't think that was scripted. I really don't. I don't think that was supposed to happen, because the way that Ric Flair looked at Kurt, he was like, I know you're not doing this, boy.
Yeah, of course, if it was scripted and they had planned it out, he sold it well enough to make you think that.
Literally, you're right. And then the second one is, I can't believe I'm about to say this, but him and Jay Lethal. That was really good.
The very boring Jay Lethal.
Yeah, the very boring Jay Lethal.
Yeah. Fucking priceless. So, hey, yeah, congratulations, 35 years after winning your first NWA title. Ric Flair!
Yeah.
Yeah, we brought up Vince McMahon talking about that. You guys hear reportedly, he tore his quad doing squats again.
He was in the Kevin Nash regiment.
Ric Flair, Vince McMahon tore his quads.
I remember when Vince came out to the ring as the Mr. McMahon character, walking the way he did, getting into the ring. And just stepping into the ring, he tore his damn quads.
He tore one. Like, I think the report was he tore one climbing into the ring and then tore the other, like, trying to, you know, I can remember he, like, it's not like he tore both quads at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
Cause, like, when he was sitting there in the ring getting instructions from the referee, like, he's got both quads torn at once. But I think, like, charging to the ring tore one and then, like, climbing into the ring toward the other.
Okay.
Something like that. Like, all the credit in the world, he gritted his teeth through it and got the whole thing done.
Sitting on his ass in the corner.
It looks silly. It looks silly. You know what? I'd be able to do that.
Yeah,
I just tore both of my quads
finishing my scripted promo thing is the last thing on my mind. My first thing on my mind is, oh dear God, the pain, the pain.
And he got through it. So, but yeah, how old is Vince? 70, 71?
71.
71 years old. He's doing squats. First off, Vince, you're 71. Leave the steroids alone.
Okay, we hear the Wild Talk Radio Network cannot confirm nor deny that Vince McMahon's on steroids.
However, the steroid trial back in 1996, blah, 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 blah. The steroid scandals here, there, and everywhere, and various wrestlers writing memoirs actually flat out stating that they saw Vince getting injected with steroids. Yeah, we're not able to confirm or deny that he's ever taken them.
In all fairness, those were wrestlers looking to make a lot of money off of lawsuits.
Well, some of them, but there is one or two that actually didn't, but only one or two. That's, yeah, neither here nor there. Should this guy be working out like that at his age, at 71?
You know, part of me is just like, well, you know what? As long as you can get away with it, okay, fine, do whatever you want. Can't get away with it anymore.
Here's the thing. Yeah, you know, and Sylvester Stallone said it best in Rocky Balboa, you know, Rocky VI. The older you get, the more you got to leave behind, which is just a sad part of life. It's nevertheless a true part of life. And sure, I understand you want to keep yourself in shape. You want to keep looking good. But there are certain things that you might want to stop doing when you hit a certain age. Maybe squats is one of them. Certain exercises you need to stay away from. Just saying.
Oh, yeah. Well, I don't know. Vince, I don't know. Vince is going to be Vince. He's going to be that guy where it's like, oh, no, what should you do? Well, I'm going to keep doing this. I'm going to keep doing my squats, damn it. Because, damn it, I'm going to have my last WrestleMania match. And I'm having it against Shay. But that's neither here nor there. But in the long run, he does need to stop. But go ahead and tell the boss of the WWE what to do.
Yeah. No, yeah, never mind the boss. It's just Vince's personality type.
His ego.
That type of person, you have a very, very hard time telling him, don't do this, don't do that. It's like, screw you, I'll do it just because you told me not to. So.
Yeah, that's not even so much an ego thing. It's just he doesn't want to look weak.
Yeah.
That's basically Vince in a nutshell. That's like, you know, buying out his competition. It's like he wants to prove, it's proving to him, it's proving to everyone around him, yeah, I can do whatever the fuck I want.
What was that, Mike?
I can do whatever I want. You know, damn it. I've got people kissing my ass, but, you know, it's not here nor there.
He wants people kissing his ass. It's,
I mean, they're already kissing his ass.
On camera.
Yeah, like literally kissing his ass. But figuratively speaking, he's had people kissing his ass since he was like 43. When you're surrounded by yes men, you have a tendency to start believing your own hype. What am I meaning by that? Maybe he thinks he's still spry enough and young enough and he can do stuff like that. So. I don't know. Anyway, that said, not to give Vince too much of a hard time, but Mr. McMahon, if you're listening to this, and we know that WWE does tune in and pay attention to us because we've got them red-handed on a couple occasions implementing our ideas.
Right.
Get better soon, and we'd like to see you all healed up back in WWE, back on Raw as soon as possible. So get better soon, Vince.
Not saying, just saying.
Just saying. That's all. Yeah. Mentioned before the break, John Cena came out and cut one hell of a promo on Dean Ambrose. Well, brother of Bret the Hitman Hart, oldest brother of the Hart clan. Smith Hart, guys, he's at it again. He decided to cut a promo on Seth Rollins. This time on Facebook, he wrote one heck of a diatribe. This is going to be a bit of a rehash of what we talked about a couple weeks ago. Is Seth Rollins dangerous, careless, or is he just the victim of a set of bad luck? The latest injury, thanks to Seth Rollins, is Finn Balor, who wound up tearing his rotator cuff after dislocating his shoulder after taking a buckle bomb into the barricade on the floor outside the ring, courtesy of Seth Rollins. Of course, we all know that Seth exacerbated a condition in the neck and back of Sting at their match last year. He rearranged John Cena's nose, which, strangely enough, wasn't an improvement on Cena's looks. He also buggered up his own leg in a match at a house show against Kane. And a couple other things here and there. Basically, Smith is saying this guy needs to be retrained. He shouldn't be training any wrestlers. And part of Smith Hart's whole diatribe is the fact that a 20-year-old kid died at his training school. Now, here's the thing. Smith didn't have all the information about the death of this wrestling trainee. The guy was attending. He'd done a couple of moves. He started not feeling well. They sat him down and were attending to him when he started feeling worse. The EMTs were called, and before they got there, he suffered cardiac arrest. The kid died. A 20-year-old kid died of a heart attack. The flavor I got from Smith Hart's bitch fest, if you will, his article, he's blaming Seth Rollins for the death of this kid and saying, you know, Seth Rollins is really reckless in the ring and really careless, and he injures people. So this guy had a heart attack and died at his training school.
I'm pretty sure Seth wasn't there.
Right.
Exactly.
It's sad to me. I'm sorry. Like, leave Seth alone. I'm sorry. Like, oh, well, let me tell you something about that guy, Seth Rollins. You know, I don't like him. You know, he doesn't know how to post a good wrestling spot. I don't think he should wrestle. Leave him alone.
Well, you know, the question here is Smith Hart seeking attention, or does he have a valid point? Let's face it, there have been a chain of unfortunate incidents involving Seth Rollins in the ring.
I think I've said it before. It's like, yeah, I do think he's dangerous in the ring. I don't think he protects his opponents enough. And I think he picks some moves that otherwise should not be used just because they can go wrong so badly. You know, Finn's out for 6 months. WWE's out a lot of investment in him, basically because Seth wanted to do a move and came up about, maybe just a foot short of where he should have been when he released him.
Yeah, with Finn, part of the problem was the part of the barrier that Finn hit was right at the 90-degree turn, and his right shoulder hit before the rest of them. I'm sure that if he had hit it flush on the straight wall part, would have been fine.
I don't even think it's the curve. I think Seth just pitched him too soon, and there was no way to protect himself. You know, if you're doing a move that requires the opponent – requires you to launch somebody.
Yeah.
You know, there's no controlling that after that. It's your responsibility to make sure you let him go at the right time so that he can be safe when he's taking the move. Because at that point, he's just in flight.
Yeah, I'm not arguing that. I mean, yeah, I think that Seth was a little bit too hyped and anxious to, you know, put on a good match. It happens. I agree with you. He probably launched Finn maybe a couple of feet too soon, but at the same time, should the buckle bomb have been something that was used outside the ring to begin with?
I don't think it should have been used in the ring either. I think the second it retired a legend, it should have been done. Okay, existing thing or not, Sting's been in a lot of matches with that has never exacerbated that injury or that condition in any way. Until Seth power bombed him neck first into a couple turnbuckles.
Well, so should that move of Seth be banned completely, or would there be certain wrestlers he'd be fighting where he can pull that out, and then it's a case of everybody's hoping to see the buckle bomb because it's a very rarely used thing, and then, oh, there it is, buckle bomb on Dean Ambrose.
No.
And I brought up... Okay.
No exceptions.
Okay. I brought up Dean Ambrose because these guys, they've been through the wars together with each other from training right up into WWE. And the reason I'm asking you this, I'm going to let you complete your thought and answer this at the same time. There are wrestlers that Seth has had matches with from training up until WWE, from the indie circuit, through NXT up to where they are right now, where they have worked this out and done it night after night after night after night ad infinitum. You get the idea, where nothing has happened. But in WWE, he retired Sting. Okay, well, that's going to be the moniker that he's stuck with, and it doesn't matter. It just is, because that's pretty much what happened. Then we saw it happen with Finn Balor, and then we saw him break John Cena's nose before all of this happened. You don't think that he should be using that move on anybody?
No, I think it should be a powerbomb situation.
Okay.
Now that, because last time we debated this, I brought up the same point. You know, Owen Hart pile drives Steve Austin, and that move gets taken out completely. You want to talk experience, mm-hmm. being able to do that? Lawler, who had been doing the move for longer than probably Seth has been alive,
yeah,
could not use that move anymore. His finish in WWE became the second rope fist.
Mm-hmm.
Experience is not an excuse for recklessness.
Fair enough. Okay, I can accept your points on this, and I'm working on trying to play devil's advocate on this, because we've already rehashed this a couple of times in the past, Omega, and I think consensus was we were all in agreement. But that said, does he need to tighten up, or is it just a bunch of bad luck over a move with a move that he shouldn't have been using?
It's hard to call it bad luck when it's struck twice.
Okay.
And it really hasn't even been that far apart when you think about it. It's just not a move. It's not a necessary move in his arsenal. You know, I don't think there's a reason he needs to resort to it other than, you know, it's an impact move. You know, it looks good to hit somebody with, because it looks like it hurts like fuck. Fine.
Yeah.
He's got a lot of moves that look that way. There are plenty of safe moves that look that way. Pick one.
Okay. Yeah, just to be a dick, Samoa Joe almost paralyzed TJ Wilson, and almost certainly has ended his in-ring career with the muscle buster. Should Samoa Joe be banned from using that move ever again?
No.
Samoa Joe properly executed the move.
Yeah. Like, the difference is when you're in the muscle buster, you've got full protection. Like, you can position yourself and hang on to Joe correctly in order to take that move properly. Mm-hmm. You know, and Joe did it the way he's done it 1,000 times, and this one time it happened to go wrong. It's no different than the injury that Itami suffered. It's like, well, this was a freak accident, because this, you know, done this 1,000 times. It hasn't done anything before. And that's the same way. You know, I say the buckle bomb needs to be banned, because it's got two very, very big victims on its list right now.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's not a freak accident thing. If it repeats itself, then it's a pattern.
Uh-huh. Well, I'll tell you, just to give everybody the inside scoop, I know for a fact that TJ Wilson has no ill feelings or ill will towards Samoa Joe over the incident. And he's working his tail off at possibly, eventually, within the next year or two, actually making an in-ring return. That, everybody, is a bit of an inside information that you know I'm privileged to have.
That's what they call an inside scoop.
Yep.
Now, can I answer one of your questions from earlier, Tim?
All right, go ahead.
Smith Hart was totally seeking attention.
Smith Hart was totally seeking attention. Yep. Or was he just speaking out and speaking his mind, and everybody's looking at his, oh, look at me, I'm Smith Hart.
He's like Vince Russo, always looking for attention.
Well, you know, he posts weekly. He writes stuff.
Because he also has a podcast, and he wants to get word out there. So he's been in the headlines all week.
So the thing is, he hasn't said anything overly sensational. He may have gone a little far, but, you know, name a case where we haven't gone a little far to try to talk people into listening to us.
No, tying death into why I hate Seth Rollins is not a reason. It is going over the line.
Thank you for bringing that up. I was trying to lead you into there, and it worked. This kid who died of cardiac arrest. Here's the thing. If you want to be a professional wrestler, that's great. before you show up at training, get your ass into shape, because it's not a walk in a park. It's not a picnic. You can't just like, go jogging once a week and think you're fit enough to get into that ring and learn all of this shit. Am I not right, Mike?
This is where Mike has to say, see.
See, see, poquito.
There you go. Mike, you wrestle. And let's face it, you're not the slimmest guy on the planet.
Exactly.
But how's your cardio?
Believe it or not, cardio's pretty good. I went to my doctor's on Friday.
Yeah.
No, cardio's pretty good. And it's the one thing, just like everyone's saying, and I'm glad for, it's about posting and being able to not get winded too easily.
Mm-hmm. Getting blown up, as they call it in the business.
Yeah. And so it's, you gotta pace yourself. You gotta literally pace yourself. That's the one thing that you have to do. Yeah. Pace. You can't just, oh, I'm a big guy. All I'm gonna do is shoot and star press. What?
Yeah. Yeah. You know, my kid, 16 years old now, the most exercise he gets away from anything organized is banging the drum kit. Yes, my son is a drummer just like I am. I'm a good dad, and I taught him. I got him hooked on drums when he was a little kid. But that's literally the most physical activity he goes through. He's your typical teenager. He sits in front of the TV with his goddamn Xbox playing sports games instead of going out there and actually playing sports. When we get the chance to, we'll go out, we'll have a catch, I'll take shots on him for hockey, stuff like that. And he's like talking, do you think I could ever maybe get a tryout for the Calgary Flames? And I gotta be the good guy when he asks me these questions. You know, Owen, if you put your heart into it, there's no reason you can't. I can't just come out and say, listen, no, it won't happen, because you're not out there exercising enough and getting yourself into good enough shape. I can't do that, you know, because I'd be a horrible parent. Problem is, that's exactly what he needs to be told. You can't be sitting on the couch 5 days a week playing video games and then go to your hockey game on Saturday and expect to be the best, or your football game, or your whatever game.
So after the show, you gotta give me Owen's number, and I'll just play this last minute for him.
Yeah, you can piss right off, because that'll never happen. Anyway, that said, I don't know. The kid died of a cardiac arrest at Seth Rollins' training camp. I'm not able to see where anybody can legitimately blame Seth for that. Smarten up, Smith. So there you go, Rock. You've been backed up. Do all the hearts have to complain about the same people at the same time? Brett has said negative things about Seth.
It's sort of their thing.
Okay, what is that in the background?
Let's go to break.
Oh, is that what that is?
It's a cue.
Okay, there's your cue. Everybody listening to WTR Sunday Night Wrestle Talk Radio right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network, and for free on the free TuneIn app on your mobile device. Download it, search Wild Talk Radio Network, listen to us wherever the hell you are. That being said, we'll be right back with Pick 'em. Say it's easy coming up and trying to be the best. I'm calling bluff, you looking tired, man, you need a rest. You trying to graduate ahead of class, cheat the test. Homie, I ain't even trying, I just be the best. Championship rings, yeah, I got a few. Gold medal, first place, what I gotta do. Hard work, dedication, never quitting, now you looking at a champion. Out and about when your favorite WTR program is on the air. Don't worry, we've got you covered. You can listen to WTR on the go with TuneIn Radio. Just download the TuneIn Radio app for your Android or iPhone, iPad or tablet, and search for Wild Talk Radio Network. Best of all, it's free. What are you waiting for? Download the TuneIn Radio app today. Tune in to WTR, wherever you are.
No animals were harmed in the documentation of this invasion? Oh my Jesus. What? No.
He didn't tell me animals were involved. Why are animals involved?
The Great War is upon us.
This is how every zombie movie begins.
WTR Riffs presents Delete or Decay.
Seriously, if three juggalos rocked up to my house and eyed my kid, I would not resort to a Roman candle.
It's Stargard!
God. Dilapidated boat! Dilapidated boat!
He killed Joseph Park, you bastard!
Available now at wildtalkradio.com.
No animals were physically harmed. Emotionally, though, they're forever scarred.
They've been scarred for life.
This fall, while some will be voting for the wife of the man who stained a dress,
I did not have sexual relations with that woman.
While some will be voting for the unrepentant narcissistic asshole,
is they'll say, oh, Trump is chicken. What, them four of them? And according to every online poll, I won every one of them. Now, when I turn on the television and I listen to these, you know, the talking heads who are not smart people at all, they call them elite. My education's better than any of them. I'm smarter than they are.
We urge you to find another party, the CB Radio Party. This fall, our candidates will give you the reasons for why they should be president of the CB Radio Party.
And pretty much the sovereign nation of, while she was sleeping, I said, I must protect the Commonwealth of the... intelligent people. I said, yes, I will face you, Jobber.
All hail El Presidente.
Hello, Jobber.
Tune in Saturday nights, midnight-ish Eastern, for the great CB radio debate only on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
All hail El Presidente, Lone Jobber.
I'm Santino Morella.
I'm going to prove to you and everyone else that I am the greatest intercontinental champion of all the time.
You're listening to Wild Talk Radio Network.
Welcome back, WTR Sunday Night, right here on the Wild Talk, Talk Radio Network. And, like I said previously, free on the TuneIn app on your mobile device. Listen to us on that if you can't be around the websites. That'll work.
Yeah.
Yeah, dude. Okay. That being said, hey, isn't it time for us to pick potential winners for the Clash of Champions?
Yes. Go to facebook.com/groups/WildTalkRadioNetwork or facebook.com/WildTalkRadioNetwork during the week and post your picks. You can also tweet them at WildTalkRadio, at Flames Forums as well throughout the week as we go along. That's how you enter and pick them. Play along, have some fun, and be cool, Matt. Play along.
Is that Matt in the chat?
Yeah, that's Matt in the chat.
Is that Matt in the chat? Well, the show's still on.
You know.
Oh, yeah. Hey, Rock, can you name one place on Facebook for people to go and post their pick and picks?
Facebook.com/WTR Sunday Night.
What about another Facebook page?
I named them already, Tim.
Do it again.
No. Good.
You slur and you speak too fast.
If you don't know the Facebook pages by now, then you have a problem.
Then smarten up and learn them. Matt did. Matt's okay. I can put up with Matt. Matt's all right. I'm not saying anything about some guy with the initials B though.
I read everything. Is that Cowboy fan? All read everything.
How about them Cowboys?
They somehow won today.
How about them Cowboys? Hey, what about Philadelphia Eagles? How'd they do this week?
They play tomorrow night. They play tomorrow on Monday.
Oh, Monday Night Football. Who are they playing?
The Bears.
Go Bears, go!
So tune in tomorrow night, 11:10 p.m. Eastern, for the Monday Night Football post show live right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Hey, did the Seahawks play this week?
They lost to the Los Angeles Rams.
Rams suck. Piss off.
The Rams really do suck.
Which says not very good things about the Seahawks.
Seahawks have no offense.
Yeah, I'm a cheesehead and a Seahawk fan of two. I'm allowed to be a fan of two football teams, aren't I?
Well, the Packers are currently losing 17-14.
They're only down by a field goal. Will you relax?
With a minute and 44 to go.
Well, it's happened before. They could tie it up and go to overtime.
They could.
The odds are against it, but it could still happen.
anything is possible if you believe.
Oh, who sent that?
That was Mike.
Okay, that was funny.
Anyway, WTR pick on Clash of Champions, not to be confused with Night of Champions, or Clash of the Champions.
Clash of the Night of Champions?
The former WCW pay-per-view, Clash of the Champions.
Yeah.
Alright, Sami Zayn versus Chris Jericho. Mike.
Gracias, Rock. We have a hero going on there. Chris Jericho and Sami Zayn. That's what I'm doing on Sami Zayn. We're going to go with Chris Jericho.
See, you had the perfect opportunity to use El Generico in that. You failed.
See, I... but
you failed. Come on, dude. Come on.
Lo siento, Rock. El Generico.
Even though you went with Jericho.
Yeah, sorry.
Why Jericho?
Well, for the... because if you look at every single feud that Jericho has been in, pay-per-view, victory. Second pay-per-view, loss. Third pay-per-view, even though people aren't going to say it, number one contenders match for the title down the line.
Okay. Omega.
You know, the guy's not wrong. You know, ultimately, Jericho's there to put over the young guys. And I don't think you can keep having Sammy lose. You got to give him a few wins to bump him up. So against my own fantasy draft, I will go with Sami Zayn.
All right, Tim, who you got?
Le fils de Mastoque d'Etoile d'Anesh Dick Irvine Chris Jericho versus de Montréal Québec Sami Zayn dans la info lutte marche Sami Zayn.
I think he had a stroke.
Je ne comprends pas les français.
You don't speak French, Mike?
Nope.
Well, yeah, because you said you don't compliment French, and I'm like, what?
All right, Brent, I hope you got all that. The WWE Raw Tag Team titles are on the line. The New Day take on Gallows and Anderson Omega.
Title or not?
Raw WWE Tag Team titles are on the line. The New Day versus Gallows and Anderson.
Okay. Whoa, deja vu!
Just double checking. New Day.
Why the New Day?
Marketing. Keep going.
But didn't someone say they could, you know, you can have them lose the titles and still push them to the moon?
They have a brand of candy coming out next month. They're gonna want the belts on them.
Alright, Tim.
Matt, do you speak French? I want to know that. First off, secondly, I'm actually going to buck the curb and pick Ellis and Anderson on this one.
Mike,
honestly, it's rough, but I think it's time that they give somebody the title, and I'm gonna have to go with Gallows and Anderson.
All right, there you go. Up next, the Raw Women's Championship, Charlotte versus Sasha. Tim, you're up first.
I know you'd go to me.
Well, I've gone through the other two. I went through the other two first. All right, so, you know.
Okay, well, I'd like to state for the record, Matt, don't you ever call it awful French if you don't know French and you don't speak French. How would you know French? Who's to say I wasn't actually saying French words? And my pick is Sasha.
And to be fair, maybe he wasn't saying your French was bad. Maybe he was talking about Mike's.
No, because Mike was doing Espanol. And yeah, he was referring to my butchered French, which I actually used proper words. I just didn't say it right. That's all.
Why Sasha?
Je ne parle pas français. Pardonnez-moi.
Why Sasha?
Because Sasha.
Okay, Mike.
Be a boss, Mike. Be a boss.
Don't be bossed around, Mike. Don't be bossed around.
Oh God, I hate both of you.
Wait a minute, didn't we both just boss them?
I'm gonna go with Bailey. No, I'm just kidding.
If she winds up in a triple threat, I'll hit you.
Points for me.
Yeah.
Shut up. I don't even think I any of those three I'm in. Sasha Banks.
Oh my God.
Considering the title change was kind of a last minute thing due to injury, I will say back on course and give it to Sasha.
Hate you all. WWE Universal Championships on the line.
He stands to lose a
suck
lot of points
loss.
If this
suck
happens.
Suck it.
Yeah, Omega, he stands to lose a lot of points if that happens.
I know.
And so I have my fingers crossed.
I think all of us do.
Hate you all. WWE Universal Championship, Kevin Owens defends against Seth Rollins. Omega.
There's no question here. It's Owens. They're not going to take the belt off of him that fast.
Mike.
It's a Kevin Owens show. I'm sorry.
Tim.
The HMO who has to patch up Kevin Owens' injury after the match against Seth Rollins. You know somebody had to do it.
Well, even though he gets injured, he could still retain the title. Finn did it.
Well, Kevin Owens retaining the title, but the doctor wins because it's the United States and you have to pay to get, like, treated.
Mm-hmm.
So weird.
By the way, Packers lost.
Fuck off.
Just saying, it happened.
And so am I!
Look, Tim, we tried the healthcare thing here. Certain people didn't like it, so we don't have it.
Yeah, you tried the healthcare thing there, and big pharmaceuticals said, fuck you, we won't make enough money because, you know, your health doesn't matter as much as my pocket, so mm-hmm. you went back to the bullshit. That's so stupid. So
hey, look, we didn't go back. We didn't go back. Certain people in charge went back and said, hey, we get a lot of that big farm money. We don't want to lose that either.
So the rest of these matches are possible matches based on events transpiring on television.
Jeez, it's like they don't have time to build up feuds anymore or something.
Well, they do, but they haven't officially announced matches. U.S. title, Rusev versus Roman Reigns, Mike.
I want candy.
How certain are we of these?
I am 95% certain on this one.
So this is going to me? Okay. I'm going to have to go. Sorry, Rusev. Enjoy your honeymoon. Roman Reigns.
Tim.
Yeah, this is kind of sort of like where Roman Reigns needs to be right now to get the fans back on his side. Who better than to beat the anti-American U.S. champion?
All right, so Tim goes Roman, Mike goes Roman. Omega says, fuck you both.
Yeah, I know you got Russo. Sorry.
Yep, and I'm sticking to my pick there.
So Omega goes, Rusev, Cruiserweight Championship will be on the line. TJ Perkins will defend against somebody. So are you taking the somebody or the guy you know, Tim?
Well, you know, it's like their first WWE Raw pay-per-view, and he just debuts on Raw tomorrow night. So let's take the title off him and give it to the question marks. TJP will retain his title.
Mike?
I don't know. We'll see how it all works out, but I think I know for a fact that it may be him versus Brian Kendrick.
Yeah, ooh, right.
TJ versus Kendrick.
Nah, the Japanese guy.
Kota Ibushi? Yeah.
Okay.
No. Neville.
Neville?
Now that I think about it.
It could happen.
I just want it for the fantasy points, that's all.
We know. But TJ Perkins.
Oh my god.
I don't think in any booking logic, you have an entire tournament to crown what you're calling the best cruiserweight in the world. Literally calling them that, and then immediately taking the title off of them. Not happening.
This is WWE booking, though.
which in case, my brawn prediction is a little bit more frightening. But no, you're not going to say that fast.
So another one for TJP. And as I wrote this down in the notes, match number 7, unless they are stupid to end it on Raw with match number 6, Cesaro versus Sheamus.
For the win and for the points, Cesaro.
Omega.
Cesaro.
I'm what? Guaranteed 3 points tomorrow.
Mike.
Sheamus.
Shut up.
So there you go. Go to facebook.com/WildTalkRadioNetwork or facebook.com/group/WildTalkRadioNetwork and post your picks there. You can tweet them at Wild Talk Radio or at Flames Forums throughout the week. Okay, Tim's not going to segue us, so I'll just segue us.
Who's the man? Huh? Who's the man?
It's time for another WTR original.
I am the greatest.
All-time greatest.
Well, whoop the freaking do!
Help us decide what the greatest intro, submission move, or even the greatest title run ever truly is.
I hope I score.
Interact with us in the real-time chat and find out who or what will end up being the all-time greatest.
Stop us now!
This week in the all-time greatest, it's The Shield versus the Nation of Domination.
I was just about to segue us when you did that. You just did that on purpose.
I waited. There was no segue coming from you.
I like how Rock's definition of a segue is just jump straight into the segment.
Yep. Omega, go.
Sequence.
The Shield. Nation of Domination, while dominant and while giving us The Rock, I never liked where it came from. You know, cause it does, it's one of those things that plays up on racism. It's like, well, the, you know, in modern day, in the social justice era we have, it's, you know, basically being repeated. You know, in the end, it's, it's a group of militant African Americans, trying to band together for strength. And it plays on very basic things that I don't like being played for heels. Very negative things. We see it a lot in pro wrestling. I don't like it now, and I didn't like it when they were doing it.
All right, Mike.
Keeping strong with my black brothers, the Nation of Domination.
Tim, break the tie.
Mike, are you black or are you African American?
I'm African American.
Have you ever been to Africa?
I have not.
Then shut up, you're an American.
Shut up!
That said, you know, Nation of Domination, they had some stuff going on, but yeah, it was still born of bigotry. And the only thing about it was satire on that bigotry on both ways. It was both subtle and blunt at the same time. Hit you over the head, but behind your back, so you didn't see it. They had a couple of good things, but the biggest thing I could remember Nation of Domination doing was making fun of, what was the group Owen Hart was part of other than the Hart Foundation?
Nation of Domination.
Degeneration X.
Right? Yeah. So.
You mean you remember DX mocking the Nation? Is that what you meant?
You should have smelled what The Rock is cooking.
Let me just get back my train of thought back on there. Owen Hart was a member of the Nation of Domination. He was like Alabaster.
That was like post-Rock Nation of Domination.
Mm-hmm.
Where we've opened our borders a little bit. You know, he's a white devil, but he's Canadian, so that's half okay.
He's Canadian, so it's okay, because there's no such thing as bigotry and racism in Canada. I'm waiting for it. Nobody hates Canadians. Anyway.
And you should have smelled what The Rock was cooking. When it comes to the croc and the ladies, and the croc hits rock bottom. He has no choice but to lay that smack down on himself. You hear that? The brother smacks himself down.
Thanks for digging up the clip, Rock.
Oh my god.
Hold on, here we go.
Still one of the best ever.
That D'Lo Brown. Oh my god.
Oh. That would get him kicked off. You know, X-Pac alone would get them kicked off TV for that shit now.
Yeah.
Coming out full blackface.
Yeah, and here's the Owen Hart part.
They park a bus on his face. Supposed to be Owen Hart.
Well, enough is enough, and it's time for a change.
Listen to this. It is Owen Hart. Did you hear that?
So what? Nobody listens to me. Nobody gives a damn what I think. And what the hell am I doing wearing this ridiculous outfit? I look like a damn road sign. What the hell am I? School crossing? You know, I tried to be a tough guy, but I just couldn't grow my damn beard in. And you know what? I am not a nugget. I'm a black heart, damn it. A winner, a soul survivor. Woo!
Oh, things are not well in Calgary tonight.
That is Owen Hart.
Like Jason's sensation is awesome.
If anybody smells what The Rock is cooking, it's me. Look how big my damn nose is. What the hell am I? An aardvark?
What does the brother look like? An aardvark?
B-Lo, look at B-Lo. I know.
That was, Jason's sensation is great.
That was the best bit of the whole. That's like. That, you know, that's like old school, like celebrity roast levels of mockery. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I can tell you guys, Owen Hart was in the back watching on the monitor, busting his gut throughout that entire bit.
So you mean he wasn't throwing things at the TV like they said on commentary?
He was laughing his ass off. Are you kidding?
Hold on.
the king of the prank, Owen Hart.
So who you got, Tim?
That whole thing, Nation of Domination, with that little bit with DX, that was like the biggest thing that he had going, really, to tell you the truth. The Shield, a little more recent, but a few more, if you pardon the air quotes, higher profile incidents leading up to their breakup. This is a bit of a tough one, but I've got to give the edge to the Shield just by a nose. I said smidge. I wasn't going to say nose, but thank you.
Let's go see. 86% of people said the Shield as well. So the Shield moves on. Up next, the Wyatt family takes on the Brood. Mike.
Ooh.
So Team Twilight versus Team Blade. Jesus, this one.
Team the Devil's Rejects.
Yeah.
Tell me I'm wrong. You've seen the movie. I know you
have. Yeah. We'll continue that. I don't know. It's this one really hits home. Yes, the Wyatts have. Wait. With or without Braun Strowman?
Whatever your definition of the Wyatt family is.
Fuck. Sorry, Braun. The Wyatt family.
Omega. he goes, sorry, Braun, but picks the Wyatts.
I'm sorry, because. When they first started without Braun, fucking fantastic. But now it's like, anyway,
Omega.
I'm thinking to it now. You're going for the same kind of like current era horror vibe. You know, where, you know, back then it was very much in the vampire genre, and now it's much more Cabin in the Woods. As much as I like the Wyatts, as good as they are as a unit, and as much as WWE needs like character like that right now, they're just so ineffectual. You know, they had some dominance early on, but you know, there's only one championship to show from any of them, and he did it when he was away from the group. You know, and it's to the point where, you know, like we've said, with right, it's hard to take him seriously anymore because it's just too many losses. And for as intimidating as they can look, intimidating as they can sound, it's hard for them to even get the job done. You know, I look at the Brood, where back then it was so different, you know, and there was such, like, just like the Wyatts, there's such aura to them because of the way they carry themselves, the way they enter the arena, you know, coming up through this under the stage with a flame ring around them. One of my favorite entrances of all time. You know, both teams are very much about atmosphere. It's who does it better. Honestly, I prefer the Brood.
Tim, you're up.
The Wyatt family. Yeah, you said Cabin in the Woods. That was a very good allusion. I was impressed by that, Omega. The new face of fear on WWE can't win a fucking pay-per-view match if his life depended on it. All scary and all this and all that, except for when it counts. The Wyatt family has brought us failures, is what they brought us. The Brood, yeah. The entrance was awesome. I loved the music that they had. The Brood had some great moments, and it was thanks to the charisma of Edge and Christian. And they actually won a couple pay-per-views. but on top of that, the Brood gave us Edge and Christian. They gave us the Rated R Superstar. They gave us the WWE World Champion. They also gave us, you know, a feud with Matt Hardy over Lita, which was... anyway, the Wyatt family gives us, at the end of the day, an empty gas tank. There's nothing there to keep things going. It's the Brood.
But you say the Brood gave us this and gave us that, but as the Brood, they didn't give us any of that.
The Brood gave us one more championship than the Wyatts have ever had the ability to win.
There you go.
You mean you're talking about the light heavyweight championship?
It's one belt the Wyatts can't have.
It's one belt to none. And the Brood actually won a couple pay-per-view matches. Did you miss that part? They had better charisma thanks to Edge and Christian. The Brood had better, just, they were very charismatic. The Brood, DeBoed wins. DeBoed.
67% of the people went with the Wyatt family.
67% of the people aren't old enough to understand what the fuck's going on.
But that ties it up.
Mike?
Why are you going to Mike?
Mike? Why do you think I'm going to Mike? Mike knows why I'm going to him. Why'd I go to you, Mike? Tell everybody why I went to you.
I'm not breaking the tie.
No, you're part of the reason it is a tie.
You're the reason it's a tie, Michael.
Sorry.
So I get to break the tie and I go with Wyatt family.
You're a dead shit. The only reason I went with the Wyatt family is because you don't want to get in trouble with Lindsay.
Done.
You suck. Omega, I think we need to have a neutral third party. Chat room, this is your chance to pick the Brood over the Wyatt family.
There's already a poll.
Poll went with the Wyatts.
I'm pretty sure the people have had a vote in this already.
There you go. Matt went with the Brood, so like Matt counts.
Matt doesn't count.
I'm sure he's glad to hear you say that, Rock. Matt, I don't care what Rock thinks about you. You're okay in my books. Shut up, Josh.
He went with the Wyatt family?
Wyatta. Yeah, fine. All right. The Wyatt family unfairly moves on. Next week, the matchup for the...
Bias. Corruption in the system.
Yeah,
this is why we need Bernie.
Everybody who voted for the Wyatt family supports Donald Trump.
Oh, whoa. Let's not go that far.
Yeah, well, you know, he can do shit like that, so I'm gonna. Next week's matchup for the all-time greatest are...
Ministry of Darkness versus Triple X, and the BWO taking on Team Angle.
That's next week on the all-time greatest right here on the Wyatt Talk Radio Network. Now it's time for Quick Hits.
Let's do it.
Time now for some Russell Talk Radio Quick Hits. Wow. That's right. It's that part of the show where our panel has 60 seconds to answer sometimes outrageous and ridiculous questions posed to them. Wow. Step up to the plate and get ready for some Russell Talk Radio Quick Hits.
Mike, if you were a wrestling mini, what would your name be?
A wrestling what?
Mini.
Midget.
They don't like being called midgets.
I'm just clarifying.
Yeah. I don't know. The Small Enforcer.
Okay. Tim, if you were a comic book villain, what would your name be?
Okay, am I DC or Marvel?
Your choice.
If I were a DC villain, I would be the Black Sabbath.
Okay. Omega, if you were a...
If I were a Marvel villain, I'd be somebody else.
You just want to be the Black Sabbath so you can battle Batman.
Wait a minute. Is there a DC villain named Black Sabbath?
Black Hand, not Black Sabbath.
Okay, that's different.
Omega, if you were a luchador, what would your name be?
Yeah, why didn't you ask the one who was speaking Mexican earlier?
Un momento, sure. Por favor.
So stupid.
I like Matt's answer for the wrestling mini.
What is it?
Mini me.
Yeah.
Cliche, still funny.
It's a 4 out of 10.
Okay, Brett.
You can make your gimmick mini you and come out dressed as your opponent every time.
Ooh! I kind of like that idea. Mike, take a note.
Yeah, I'm trying to think. It's like... Yeah, I'm trying to think of something clever, like mask related, and I'm aware of just how lacking in the culture of this I am.
El Lucha Pikachu.
That's not going Pokemon on this. At least some credit here. God. See, I like... Yeah, I like the kind of tongue-in-cheek shit that you see on luchadors sometimes. Like, I loved when Ricardo was El Local. Mm-hmm. Literally, the local. You know, or El Generico. Like, that's the kind of shit I love. If I was a luchador, it would either be like... Whatever... God, sound terrible. Whatever is Spanish for, like... the normal, or, you know, the guy. Just like...
El gringo.
El jefe.
How do you say Roman Reigns in Spanish?
Oh, Jesus.
You said the guy, so my mind goes, Roman Reigns? Alright, so whatever normal is. Okay.
Yeah.
It brings us back to Mike. Mike, if you were the wrestling mini like we talked about, what would your finishing move be?
Tadpole splash.
Okay. Tim, this is a listener-submitted question just for you.
Bullshit!
No, it really is.
If it's from Kane Kittens, it doesn't count.
It's not from Kane Kittens.
What does Matt want?
It's not from Matt. So... would you rather have your dick burnt in a toaster or stuck in a blender?
What? Wait a minute. Does the blender get turned on, or is it just like there?
No. The blender isn't into this.
The blender is on.
You ain't putting my dick in no blender.
So you'd rather have your dick burnt off?
No, you didn't say off. You said burnt.
Do you think it really is going to be functional after it gets burnt?
Not until it heals. Who the fuck would ask about my dick? You perverts!
And Omega, what would your luchador finishing move be?
Again, I'm trying to think of what would be funny in a luchador context.
Okay, so as you're going to do that, I'll give you a minute to think about that. For Mike, since he's unable to be tagged on Twitter, this week's fantasy scorers were Team Lindsay had 12, Team Intern had 6, Team Tim had 5, Team Rock had 3, Team Omega had 1, Team Mike had 1.
Thank you, Cena.
Jesus.
So there you go. Did that buy you enough time, Omega?
I'm going to get massive points all next week, and all you guys are going to lose massive points all next week.
See, again, as a luchador, I would probably just spoof the whole thing and just go back to, like, the old-fashioned sleeper hold or some shit like that. Like, it takes a lot of flips and spins to get into it, but in the end, my finish is just a sleeper.
The Whirly Bird Twisting Sleeper Hold. Because twists and spins and flips, I don't know.
Yeah.
And it starts with a whirling bird where you're on the guy's shoulder and you spin around.
And somehow Morrow still knows where it was first done.
Morrow knows everything.
It's amazing, isn't it?
I told you when we first found out he was going to be joining the announce team that you'd get a kick out of him. I warned you.
And that'll do it for another edition of WTR Saturday Night.
Yeah, that's a wrap for the week. Tomorrow night after Raw, it's the Raw Post Show immediately following Raw.
Yes, it'll be the quote-unquote Raw Post Show. Tune in 11:10 p.m. Eastern because we're going to totally be talking about Raw, not the football game. Tune in 11:10 p.m. Eastern.
That's a hint. If you're a football fan, you know, tune in and Rock will bitching and crying about how badly his Eagles are losing.
In all seriousness, we will be talking about Monday Night Raw, everything that goes down on the go-home edition of Monday Night Raw, 2 Clash of Champions.
You better hope the Eagles don't lose or you're going to find out about it. Thursday night, another edition of the multi-time, multi-award-winning, the award-winning Rack.
Yes, we'll be talking Clash of Champions, we'll be talking NXT, we'll be talking all the news you could possibly handle. It's the Rack, Thursday night, 10 p.m. Eastern. Go back and listen to the Rack Extra Dragon Con edition that was put out last week, where Lindsay tells all about going to all her fine details of going to Dragon Con 2 weekends ago. Check it out at RackRadioShow.com, YouTube.com/RackRadioShow to see all the WWE 2K Sims for Clash of Champions, Facebook.com/RackRadioShow, Twitter.com/RackRadioShow, Stitcher, iTunes, Google Play, search Rack Radio Show.
Saturday night, midnight-ish, or as close as they can get to it, probably, you know, half past midnight is a better time to announce. It's CB Radio!
There are times where we start earlier than that. It's midnight-ish. It's as close as they can get. Go back and listen to episode 450 featuring Lone Jobber talking video games, featuring all the Blame Robs, the Blame Subs. How well do Rob and Sub know sexting acronyms? Plus Subway and Rob's and sometimes Jabber's expert NFL picks. It is CB Radio, the weird, the wacky, the unusual, every Saturday night, midnight at CB Radio, live on Facebook, Twitter, and .com. Hashtag blame Rob when a celebrity dies.
And of course, next Sunday night, immediately following the pay-per-view, will be on. That's right, strangely enough, it's like it's been forever since we've had to have a 9 o'clock Mountain, 11 o'clock Eastern start to WTR Sunday night. But, yeah, it's finally come around again this coming up next Sunday. Tune in and find out what we thought about Clash of Champions. That being said, we're out of here. Follow me on the Facebook if you want. Find me, facebook.com/menchefs. The ID is Man Kitchen. Follow me on the Twitter machine, at Flames Forums. You'll be able to follow along as I tweet about wrestling, hockey, and my car and other stuff. Because that's what Twitter's for, just to let you know when I had a cup of coffee. Follow the Wild Talk Radio Network on Twitter, at Wild Talk Radio. Join our Facebook society, facebook.com/Wild Talk Radio Network, facebook.com/groups/Wild Talk Radio Network. Like one, join the other, get involved in all the fun, post your little asses off. What else? Follow WTR Sunday Night on the Twitters, at Russell Talk Radio.
At WTR Sunday Night.
That's the one. At WTR Sunday Night. Cough, cough.
Facebook.com/WTR Sunday Night.
Yeah. Omega.
Ooh, my turn.
Yay!
Yay. If you are the Facebook type, then you can follow everything I do over at TJ Reviews. However, everywhere else on the planet of Earth, it is TJ Omega. TJ Omega is the Twitter handle. It is also the YouTube channel, which is kept as up-to-date as I can lately. There's a bunch of stuff I try to post just about every day if I can. And then, of course, if you want to see all the exclusive little things that I do, it is tgomega.org.
Mike?
English or Spanish announce table?
En anglais, s'il vous plaît.
Aw, okay. Anybody who wants to add me on Twitter, hit me up on the WTR Oreo. Add me on Twitter.
Next week, Mike will be doing the Japanese announce table.
Oh, God.
Español, por favor.
Gracias, gracias, dime, concaría por las personas que querían me agregar en Twitter via DWTR Oreo. Gracias.
And the Japanese announce table, you know, is you're just WTR's number one announcer?
Fuck.
Say goodnight,
Rage.
Tim. Good night, Tim.
Say goodnight, Mike.
Thank you, ladies and gentlemen, for being here with us. Thank you and good night.
Say goodnight, Omega.
Bye.
Say goodnight, Doc.
See you, everybody.
Catch you next Sunday.